CliffCentral.com.
Every festive we wake up with the damn sparrows. But Nzala, no, she's up at 1 p.m. Kari. Ooh, kunuka, kamnandi. And we're like, but where you been though? Here opening pots like you cooked.
A combination meal. Inspired by seven colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's. Fired up.
You got that shit that somebody will love for but won't find.
This is music of Drake hanging out with Lil Wayne, the real Herb. Now, I'd like to just take this opportunity to welcome my first guest for the day. It's not his first time hanging out with us in studio. As a matter of fact, before I even talk to him, I think this is the best way to set it up. Let me just quickly remind you of who we're talking about. His first EP came out in 95, right?
Yeah, definitely.
In 95. We're going to get into his life and just try and see what he's been up to and possibly get into a performance as well. Harrison Crump is in the building, ladies and gentlemen, in the background, an absolute classic. If you do not recognize this, shame on you. We're coming back. Stay with us. Yes, as promised, US-born artist, DJ, and super-duper producer Harrison Crump. In the background, the song is called I Need Love. Came out in 2004. We've just been talking about it. I was asking him, as a matter of fact, if he remembered how old this song is. He actually took some time to think about it. But what I really wanted to know was, when you listen to yourself vocally, then to now, what goes on in your mind?
Man, you know what? You don't think about it when you listen to yourself sometime. You know, you think about the song. You think about how you mixed it down, you know, and the feeling it had at the time, you know. And sometimes I don't even remember I made this song or recorded it, man. But, you know, that's just about working hard in the studio, man. You know, that's all I can say, you know.
It must be such a process. Look, creating music, we consume the end product.
Yeah.
We seldom take into consideration the hard work that goes into it. You know, the nights are out on end.
Yes.
The times when the mix wasn't coming together, you were trying to get a hold of somebody to come and add something within the song, and you were having difficulties. Not knowing what we know now about the song, I mean, it's one of the biggest songs we've had in the past decade. What can you tell us about the creative process of the song?
Well, I can say that when you're a producer and you want to become a professional producer, there's a lot of technicalities that you go through as far as setting up your studio, getting the right sound, getting your computer, your equipment working properly for you to be able to create them things that you got in your mind, you know.
Yeah.
And then once you get that done, then you sit back and you start programming. Then after you start programming, you start mixing, you start recording, you start editing, you know. So it's a bigger process than what you hear when you hear it on radio, you know. Especially not just treating my horn or anything, but I was for that specific song, I did a lot of work myself. And that song took me 3 months to do. Three on one song.
Really?
Yeah, that song took me 3 months. I Need Your Love took me 3 months. So, yeah, that's how long it took. And that song, I was working the old G3 Mac. It had no power less than your own iPhone back in the day. So, and you can imagine I was bouncing effects here and there because I didn't have enough power. So I bounced inside the computer at the time. And, hey, man, and I was running analog at the same time. Hey, it was hectic, eh?
But don't you think then that's what makes it such a powerful song? It probably means much more to you because of how transformative it's being. And it transcended generations. We didn't know the backstory. We didn't know the fact that you struggled to actually put it together.
Yeah.
But look, it sounds every bit as good as anything that's out in the market at the moment.
Yes. No, I think that the inspiration from the song The feeling of the song. You know, when you're producing, you get that feeling.
Yeah.
You get that one good feeling about the track, and you go forward with it. Like, you work on something like, you know what, this is going to be a great song. Let me max this song out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I do, you know. I max the song out, get it the best I can get it, you know. And, yeah, man, I'm just blessed and happy that people accepted the song, you know.
I was actually just I checked out an article on you, I think you did, with one of the publications here, and you were talking about how it feels strange to you that you still have to introduce yourself as though you're a new artist. It feels like you're a new artist, even though you have been in the music business for quite some time.
Yeah.
Take me through that.
Well, you know what, some people used to say, you're only good as your last record, you know? You know, and even as a radio presenter or whatever job you do, sometimes you always got to go back and prove yourself. And during times as an artist, when you start, you have, like, there's no issues around. It's just making music.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, you start having a family, things start happening, da-da-da-da, this, that, that. And then things kind of conflict with your creativity somewhat. But if you stay true to the game, you stay true to making good music, you eventually kind of come out of that rut a little bit, you know, and you keep making music. You keep doing what you good at. So I just think that, you know, trying to prove myself, it's just about the job. This is the job that I've chosen to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I go to work 9 to 5 and then I come home. This job is competitive, and that's the life I've chosen, so I can't cry about it.
Now, the other thing is that we obviously consume you as a house producer because of the sound that we heard. But there's a lot more to you as an artist, as a composer, as a songwriter, as a DJ. There's a lot more to you.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself to be a house vocalist?
That's a good question. Not really. Some people only thought that I was a producer. Some people thought I was just a DJ.
Yeah.
Some people thought I was just a singer. And it depends on what side of the world you got my song, or you got my record, or how you got my record. You know, just like the I Need Your Love was on the Soul Candy's compilation. You know, and people thought that it was, who did that? I think it was DJ Fresh actually put I Need Your Love out. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I think it was Fresh or Ephonics.
Yeah.
But, you know what? As I am a vocalist, you know, I'm a writer. But specifically, I like to specifically produce house. But in Chicago, during that time, I've been producing house music and releasing house tracks. I was producing hip-hop and R&B in the streets, meaning that a guy would come to me like, hey, Crump, can you make me a beat for so amount of money? And I'm like, okay, cool. So a lot of cats, producers in New York and Chicago, they got paid off the street to make beats. So I never would turn down that money, because I was still waiting to take another 2 months for me to release another house record, to get paid off another house record. And some guy would come to me, hey man, can you make me a beat? So that's how my album actually ended up. I kind of like split just a little bit to show a little bit of my other things that I do.
Yeah.
As far as R&B and hip hop as well. And there's some classic hip hop on that album, like what me and Dukes did on the album, what me and WHP did on the album. It's not trying to do like a trap hip hop. It's just giving you a classic feel. It's what I wanted to do when I made them beats, you know, because I wanted to. The album is a legendary album with me and Tebby on there, me and Dukes, you know, and new people as well that's on the album.
You know, the other thing that I want to, one of the things that we like doing here on the show, I really like getting technical.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if this is just taking it a little bit too far, but I like to strip down the discussion to its bare essentials so that I understand from your point of view as a creator, the integrity of soul or R&B.
Yes.
Is it compromised when you have to lay your vocals over house? Does it compromise it in any way, shape, or form? Or what constitutes house away from R&B?
Well, the answer to that is people must understand where house came from. And it actually came from disco, you know, in the early 70s, where there was R&B, not R&B, but there was songs written over disco records.
Yes.
House started in New York, Chicago and New York, in the gay community. That it was a gay underground disco sound. Yeah. Sound.
Yes.
So when you write over a house song, it's not like, oh, it sounds R&B-ish or whatever. It's a house track and a vocal. So it's hard to say, you know what, because some of the house songs got a lot of soul in it, and some of the house songs, you know, sound very like
jazzy
or popish. So yeah, it depends on what you want to do over it, you know. That's how I see it. I mean, I do stuff just to make people feel good, you know, and whatever it comes out to be is what it comes out to be, you know.
And I'll tell you what, the reason why I ask you this question is because you come across people today who'd say, no, I'm not an R&B singer, but I'm a house vocalist.
Mm.
And I was trying to make the distinction. Oh, is it even possible that there's even a distinction? I mean, singing is singing.
Yeah, it can be a distinction what you normally do.
Yeah.
But for me, I consider myself a vocalist, you know. I'm a vocalist.
Before
that's what
anything.
I do. Before, I mean, I sing on my records, you know. And if I feel like the song Right Back, this on the album, I want to, or this one right here, I want to sing on it.
Yeah. All right, so this is one of your most recent productions.
Yeah.
This is Harrison Crump. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion, and we're going to get into your live performance as well. Let me tell you something. Production on this song is absolutely insane.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
So I see you hanging out with HP on this one.
Yes.
Okay, I want us to just... can we do an unplugged version of this? You can just ad lib on it. Harrison Crump, ladies and gentlemen.
Fall in love, fall in love.
This is live.
Fall in love, fall in love. Oh, till you fall in love. Oh, you're my girl tonight. Love how you rocking it tonight. Me and you in the bedroom, laying it down like, baby, I got you. Like, I'ma keep it wet with the whole lot of this and the whole lot of that. Like, we gon' make it lonely. Yeah. Fall in love, fall in love. Fall in love, fall in love. Oh, till you fall in love. Yeah.
Double HP. So where did you meet the man?
Man, I met him at Tasman Studio, man, one day.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, and we did that So Amazing song together.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so I said, hey, man, come jump on this album now, you know. And he was cool with it, you know.
Is this the vibe you're on now?
No, not really. You know, it's just something that I had this song in my computer, maybe. I did this maybe, I did the track about 12 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and I pulled it up in my computer last year and just did the track. Yeah.
So in terms of what you've been working on at the moment, is it leaning towards the house side, or is it the more hip hop and R&B side?
Not really. You know, I just love to because the last album I didn't get to experiment, and this album I said, you know what, I can do this 1, 2, 3. So let me do 1 and 2, not 3, but 1 and 2, and just give people, you know, something that I do that I can do, you know. Yeah.
You're also a DJ.
Yeah.
How does this work? Take me through the process of your performance at a go. Do you bring in the vocals into it? What does it look like?
Well, it depends. You know, sometimes, you know, a promoter may book me, and they may want to book me for DJing, or they may want to book me for a live performance, you know. And I can always say the live performance always gets the people, you know. You know, It's just something about a live performance.
There's nothing like it.
You know, but I do enjoy DJing as well. And yeah, man, I mean, it's like when I do my thing as performance, I perform my new songs off my album, some of my hits, I Need Your Love, Once Again, Stump Your Feet.
Yeah.
Ride. There's a remix of Ride actually on the album as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, man.
If you're joining us right now, we are still hanging out with the Harrison Crump. More music. Stand by for that. Do remember that at the top of the hour, that's at 5 p.m. Central African time, hashtag Voop Central, we will be live on the DSTV channel 196. Solo is going to be joining us alongside Better Gang. We would love to hear from you. For now, we continue with our discussion with Harrison Crump.
Took a long pause before texting her, so I don't seem eager. We either, but I was quite keen to meet her. The Valentine's Eve weekend, she was on her way to Cape Town for a little bit of leisure. And then we agreed to meet in the middle of the week. So I decided to treat her to a little feast. She likes sushi, so that was the main feature. The second that I seen her, knew she was a keeper. The first year seeing each other, it was a secret. But after that, we couldn't keep it, and so we leaked it. I guess we got a little tired of all the creeping and all the newspaper articles we kept reading. I just wanna be nice to you, build a life with you. In the future, maybe wiping you. But right now,
I wanna be nice to you. So can I give you a small. Can I give you what's more? Yeah. So can I? Yeah.
Is there anyone you look up to vocally?
Wow, man, that's a big question there. A lot of people, you know.
Yeah,
even here, you know, I like some vocals here as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Boosie do, you know. I like what Zahara do, you know. I like some old school singers, Tina Marie, you know. I like Stevie Wonder, you know.
I like Stevie, man. The range
of Stevie Wonder, I love him, you know. I like Mick Condition.
Mm-hmm.
I like the old group Silk. Like Jodeci, you know.
The '90s.
I like Chris Brown, you know. Yeah. I like some of the vocals he do. You know, so I'm all over.
Do you remember your first record? The record that you first got, either maybe as a gift or the one that you bought?
The first record that I bought, whoa, that was a long time ago. I don't want to tell my age on radio. That was a long time ago. The first record I got.
Fortunately for you, we play a lot of old school music.
And you know what's so strange? I can say that it sounds messed up, but my mother and father was divorced, and I remember my father was leaving the house, and I said to my father, I think I was about 8 years old, I said, "Daddy, can I keep your vinyl?" He's like, "Go ahead, boy, no problem." So I used to go through all the vinyl and stuff, the 45s and the records, and just play records. Sam Cooke,
yeah,
you know, old school people. You know, I'm talking about Stylistics, Commodores, and just listen to them. You know, at an early age, you know, 8, 9 years old. You know, at the time, you know?
Would you say that then shaped you to become the artist that you are today?
I think it shaped me to become a good songwriter, listening to the melodies and the harmonies and good songs, you know. That kind of shaped me as a songwriter, I can say, you know.
What makes for a great songwriter?
A great songwriter, man, it's just, you got to be inspired by the spirit, man. It's like a spirit in you that wants you to come up with a melody that fits exactly with that track, you know. It's a feeling. I get a high feeling, you know, the exceptional feeling when I'm in the studio to write something that feels good on a song. And that's all I can say, you know.
So the process of creating for you differs from one song to the next, depending on inspiration at a given time.
Yes.
That you could begin a song, the production of a song, with a hook. And then you could start with a verse.
Definitely.
Even
a pre-hook. You may start with a pre-hook. You may start with a verse. You may start with a hook. You may even start with a sound, you know. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Just that one.
Yeah, that could be it.
That little thing that inspires you to write, you know.
I'll tell you why I'm asking you this. Let's do this. If you listen to this song, I listen to the hook. No, no, no.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way you started the song with just no, no, no. There is no way that melody was just in your head.
You know, the way that song was written, you know, it's just the no, no, no part. You couldn't put too many different words there. It would sound bad. So I had to use the same word, but sing it a little bit differently on each note.
Okay, just for a bit of reference, let's take the song. When we come back, we'll talk about how he came up with the hook. Sounds more like a feeling than anything else.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean,
is that?
It's definitely a feeling, you know. And I wrote this song for the guys, you know. It's always the guys cheat, but the girls cheat too.
Okay. So what happened? Were you drawing from experience there, Harrison?
No, I gotta write for other people. You know what I'm saying? You got guys. It's like, hey, man, one woman will never cheat on me, man. You never know. You never know. I gotta put it out there in the song.
So you're in studio.
Yeah.
Were you alone when you did this? Did you
no.
Work with anyone?
No, definitely. Giving it up to Gerard from here.
Yes.
He actually did that beat. Talented guy. He did the beat. I gotta give it up to him. And he brought the track. We worked on it a little bit together. And I just wrote and sang, man. That was it.
So you went behind the mic and you started saying no. And that was.
No, I sat there and I wrote it. You know. Give it up to a talented guy, very underrated Gerard, you know.
Listen, how talented is that man, honestly?
Yeah, man. Ish, man. You know, hey. But, you know, sometimes when you're talented, some people don't notice, man, you know, and then that's just life, man. But you have to get lucky in the game. You got to get lucky, man. Lucky, luck, talent, who you are, where you at, timing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, man.
That must be frustrating for you. I mean, you have a front row seat to some of the most talented people, I suppose. You spend time with them.
Yeah.
But they don't have the same shot as everyone else who's, I suppose, popping or who's charting. How does that make you feel? And how do you reconcile your passion for the music, for the industry, for the game itself, with that reality?
You know what, there was a guy named Gino Brown. I put a song out called Body Language.
Yeah,
he's from Alexandria, and I went to his house unexpectedly, and he didn't have much equipment, you know, and he didn't really have a setup, you know, and but I like what he was doing. I said, you know what, bro, you're talented, man. Let me help you with that song there, you know. Let me help you there a little bit. Mm. And the song came out, and it was nominated for a Metro Award, actually, that song. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like some people you see that's talented, but they missing this and they, or they missing that. It's like a puzzle. You put it, yeah, put it together. It's like you can have a big motor, but you don't have the brakes and you don't have the windshield wipers. That car won't run. So it has to be a collab of things that make someone successful. It's not all about the talent, you know. It's actually, to be honest, it's 40% of the talent.
So I heard.
And then the rest goes on to how you do your dealings and your business wise,
work
and
ethic.
Your work ethics. And so, yeah, man, you know. And to everyone that's listening, you know, try to stay away from drugs, bad women, and taxes.
This man has dealt with all kinds of women. What are you up to at the moment? Anything worth mentioning that you're working on at the moment?
Definitely, man, the album, the legendary album. I'm pushing the album, doing a lot of events here in SA. Also pushing a new SIM card through CellC, my own SIM card.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm doing that as well. And yeah, man, just touring and trying to enjoy December, having a safe December. Yeah.
Harrison Crump, ladies and gentlemen, but we're not going to let this man go before he sings for us. This time around, we're not going to do anything he's familiar with. So let's just come up with the melody, and he's just going to create something on the spot. And don't forget that at the top of the hour, we are going live on VOOV Central. That's hashtag VOOV Central, DSTV channel 196. Solo is joining us in studio alongside Better Gang. We're looking forward to that. But for now, we are wrapping up my discussion with Harrison Crump. Do you have a melody? Cool, let's go. Unrehearsed, by the way.
Do you know the things that I feel? Knowing that this gotta be so real. Can you think about it? Let me know. It's superficial, 'cause I know how you feel, and I think about you every day, so real, and I know how you love, 'cause it's exciting, no words can say, girl, it's so good. You're so good, 'cause I like your body, yeah. I love your body, yeah. I need your body, yeah. I want your body, yeah. 'Cause you're so good to me.
Oh, yeah. Now, can you believe they just came up with that, like, live in studio right now?
Yeah.
Man. Listen, man, thank you very much for always creating time for us.
No stress, man.
We appreciate what you do. Continue what you're doing. You inspire so many. It may not seem like it sometimes.
Yeah.
But you inspire so much.
Thanks,
in all of us. I mean, we need music to get through our toughest days.
Yes, definitely, man.
It's the one thing that remains untainted. You know, so we really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
Good luck with Legendary. What's happening with it? Where can people find it?
Definitely, man. Crumphump at Gmail for bookings. And you can get me on Twitter at Harrison Crump.
Yep.
And Facebook at Harrison Crump. Once again, for bookings, crumphump at Gmail. And to all the listeners, be humble, man. Stay to your game and never give up, man.
100%. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Okay, coming up, we are going live. Hashtag VOOV Central, channel 196 DSTV. Would love to hear from you. We love interacting with you. So send us those stickers. And yeah, start formulating questions for Solo and Better Gang.
I sacrificed my plans to be your only man. I know that you will always be the girl that gives out more. So can we take a chance? Just put it in my hands. I know that I will always be the one that gives out love. 'Cause I know I'll get it right back. 'Cause I know I'll get it right back. I know I'll get it right back. I know I'll get it right back.
Make baby, maintain your own thing. Vacays and chill days and broke chains. Design the things and find the things. You had it though. Your body's thinking I'm higher than that.
It's music of Harrison Crump. One of the most recognizable voices. That's Teva there hanging out with Harrison Crump. I did promise you that at the top of the hour, we are going live on VOOV Central. That's coming up shortly.
They ride for me. If ever I was blinded, they sacrificed their eyes so that I could see.
Now tell me. Yep, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to hashtag VOOV Central. We are live right now, channel DSTV channel 196, hanging out with Solo in studio right now. One of my favorite rappers, honestly. I don't think he knows that. But he is. No.
I'm sure anybody who sits in this chair gets told favorite what.
I'm being serious,
I'll
dude.
Take it.
I'm really stingy with compliments to rappers.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
For me, integrity is everything. It's one thing. I think we've established that a lot of people can rap nowadays.
Yep.
But it's everything else that comes with that. That creates the full picture. Your integrity to the artistry itself.
Mm.
The first Solo that I met and the first Solo that I listened to, I still see the same Solo in terms of how you've managed to preserve the sanctity of the artistry.
Sure.
You know, and for me, sure. that's something that I really appreciate. So how you been, brother?
I've been good, man. Firstly, I appreciate those words. Thank you.
Anytime.
Yeah, because, you know, you definitely work hard to make sure that you maintain, especially for people who have been avid listeners from the beginning. So
you're
recognizing that is very dope for me. But other than that, man, I'm good. Wrapped up a new album.
Yeah.
So I'm tired.
And I know,
but I'm happy though.
I know you're going on tour soon.
Yeah.
Have you started?
No. So essentially what we did. So actually the name of the project is Tour Dates. That's actually the name of the album. And this album is actually a band album, hence Solo and the Better Gang.
Yes.
Tour Dates. And essentially what we did was we announced tour dates coming soon. Like, we kind of pushed that narrative for a while, and people were kind of just expecting us to then release dates.
Ah.
And then eventually we announced that tour dates is actually the name of an album that.
Because I fell for it as well.
Good.
What was the idea?
That was the plan.
So take me through that. What was the idea?
So essentially that, you know, like I said, we kind of had this tour dates concept sitting for a while, and how it actually works is I think where the genius comes in. So essentially, if you think of any album and any track list that you have normally, right, you'll have track 1, 2. So in this instance, it's track 1 to 10. It's a 10 track album. And so you know how you'll just have like track 1 and the title, track 2 title. With this one, we have track 1 title, and then each track represents a city. So track 2, for example, is JHB. Track 3 is in Mpumalanga. Track 4 is Cape Town. We have Pretoria. We have Limpopo. That's how it actually works as a track list. So essentially it's a sonic tour, right? And then on top of that, what was dope is we reached out to artists from those cities, and they're all featured on the project.
That is amazing, because that's the one thing that I don't think we do enough of.
Yeah.
You go to someone's city and you don't recognize
exactly
their position within their community.
Within, exactly, and I think that's what was important for us, because even the artists who were featured on this, at least our opinion is that they're essentially the face of that space. Well, at least in terms of hip hop, you know, like for example with Joburg, we feature El Tito. With Mpumalanga, we feature K.O.
Yeah.
Soweto, we have Muggs. Cape Town, we have Youngsta. Durban, we have Dream Team. So it's a very, like, you know, it's a feature-rich album, but it's also, like, very quality artists. You know, we have East Rand. We have this mega joint with Reason, Moosley, and Kid X, you know. Pretoria, we have a track with Black Les and Envy and P.O. And it's just, you know, it's people who we feel like kind of fly the flag for their cities. Yeah, and that's essentially what tour dates is. And then the whole idea is first quarter of next year,
mm-hmm.
we'll release tour dates for tour dates.
Quite a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
So we are hanging out with Solo, as you can see. Please do send us your stickers. You want to just go through some of the messages?
Oh, yeah.
If so we've how does got, this work? If you have any questions, please just make sure that you send us those stickers and ask him questions.
Yeah.
He's here about anything. Now, dude, there is also Solo the Fashionista now.
Yeah. What do you mean now, man?
Okay.
Why are you fronting like...
Well, look. I think as social media makes it easier, it makes and it gives it a bit more prevalence.
Sure.
It highlights it.
It does, yeah.
As opposed to you may have always loved fashion.
Yeah.
But if there aren't enough platforms for you to express.
For you to kind of show it.
Now we see it a lot more. Hence, I said that. Take me through your relationship with fashion. Where does it come from?
You know, I think especially kind of coming into the game, right? And especially with what my style and sound are synonymous for, you almost have like an image of what, even hate using the word, but real hip hop kind of looks like. You know, you have this identity of it, and that was always a conflict for me, because you know, like, the cleanliness and the suits and the fitted stuff has always been my thing, and you know, but then essentially when I made the decision to kind of showcase every facet of me, because again, social media allows for that, right?
Yeah.
It's a platform that allows for me not to just showcase bars as if I am only bars.
That's all you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, so it became something that was fun to kind of entertain and to showcase. And, you know, like I've always loved dressing up. I've always believed in dressing for the occasion. So if it's an award show, I'll definitely be in a fitted suit. You know, I guess depending on what the situation is, or what you know, where I'm headed, but it was definitely something dope. And I mean, to be recognized for it, I mean, you know, we won the Style Award.
Yeah, congratulations for that.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I think it's something very dope, because it is part of my identity. So it's not like it's something that's forced. I don't feel like, oh crap, now that I'm known as a Style Award winner, now I have to keep up.
Yeah.
There's no upkeep.
It comes natural for you.
Exactly.
Would you say you have a definitive style? Is there, within fashion, I suppose, do you have a place in fashion? Like, what is your place in fashion? What's the space you occupy?
I don't think I have a place in fashion, because I think fashion just as a concept is forever evolving, right? So essentially it's much like many artistic relationships, you have to kind of keep up with it, keep up with the times, always keep well, I guess it's different via fashion, but the audio equivalent would be keeping my ear to the ground. You know? You always kind of have to see what the trends are, see what speaks to you and what doesn't. You know, it's not I'm not going to be rocking everything that's cool because everybody says it's cool. It's about what speaks to you, you know. And which is why I wouldn't say I have a definitive style. I'd say I'm right now, I'm definitely one for the right kind of fit. Therefore, like,
I see.
Fitted suits are my thing. You know?
So the trick is in the fit.
That's what I believe, at least.
We are checking out some of your messages. Candy hashtag Kin seems to be loving you. She's sending you all kinds of stickers, man.
Yeah.
Looks like
my government name.
Yeah, Mr. Langa Langa.
Mr. Langa, that's true.
Yeah, there's so much love here. We're
Shout
seeing.
Out, Candy.
Guys, please keep sending through those messages. Hanging out with Solo in studio at the moment. Now,
please Solo to follow back on what?
Yeah, this thing is overwhelming, right?
It is. All right, Candy, if I find you, I'll
the love is overwhelming, but we appreciate it all the same. Listen, tell your friend to tell a friend. DSTV channel 196, hashtag VOOV Central. Make sure that you include that hashtag. Hashtag VOOV Central. We're solo in studio right now. Now, tour dates.
Tour dates, yeah.
Putting that together.
Yes.
You obviously work with the Better Gang.
I did.
That's your team, right?
That's the band. Yeah, that's
are they
the squad.
More on the production side? Where do they fit into the picture?
Yeah, look, I mean, what Better Gang is initially, you know, even when we announced it for the first time, I think in 2015 it was, we always announced it as a movement, you know, where it's very much inclusive of people who are like-minded. So as much as, you know, we have a squad that's at the forefront, it's anybody who is like-minded or finds this to appeal to them. Everybody then becomes one large clique. That's always the idea. And Better Gang as a team, you know, there's five of us who are really just, you know, really fans of art, and we tread carefully when it comes to art. You know, our respect for it is bigger than us, and because that's how we think, that's essentially how we operate. I think even with this project, you know, we don't make projects for the sake of it. You know, our minds have to be there. We have to be there spiritually, if that makes sense. Otherwise, it feels like a waste of time, or we're not honoring this thing that's changed our lives. You know, it might be very hippie like for me to say, but that's genuinely how we feel about the music. And I think what was so beautiful about the process of this album specifically, one was the timing of it, right? So we put together this album. We started working on this album. I think it was probably like beginning of September. So that already puts us in silly season, right? Mm. This is the time where all artists get very active, and you know, yes, you buckle down for the last quarter of the year. That's how it goes. And everybody we had on our wish list is on the album. And for us, that's crazy because, again, everybody's busy. Mm. You know, everybody's busy right now. And everybody took the time. Everybody, you know, nobody wanted to shortchange us. The contribution from all these artists, some of the, you know, personally, as a fan of their work, it's some of the best work I've heard from them, you know. Just in terms of verses or in terms of a chorus or whatever their contribution was. And nobody wanted to shortchange me. So, you know, they came to me when they had the time, when they made the right amount of time to really make the songs special. We have 10 very special songs. So shout out to everybody on the album, man. I really appreciate it.
As a creative being, I imagine you go through your low moments.
Yeah.
How do you stay sane in the midst of everything you do?
You know, obviously for everybody it's different. I actually have a song on the album called Caffeine and Other Drugs, which actually speaks to people and their vices, you know. And you know, vices aren't just everything bad. You know, I have a couple of good vices. Music is one of my vices, for example. So when you ask that question, when things are low, I buckle down and work. Mm-hmm. I bury my head in work and music. And, you know, one can look at that as a good or a bad thing. You know, one thing, though, is it keeps me sharpening the saw. So, you know, I stay sharp in terms of my art. I at least don't allow it to pull me out of my craft and what it is that I do.
Are there times when you feel like you are slacking?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably like the one voice that's really hard to silence, you know. And I think that's just generally for a lot of people. The one thing I do know, though, is, you know, I often say comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we're all, you know, we all fall victim, or maybe not victim, but we all fall into that trap of, you know, I mean, so many of us, we live on social media, right? So it's very tough for me not to see everybody's accomplishments and then start to compare it and be like, yo, am I doing enough even? Or am I being recognized enough? And, you know, it's when you sober up and remember that that's all a trap and it's not real. You know, I think the issue with that is when you start to diminish your efforts.
Yeah.
You know, when you go, yeah, but that doesn't count. It was nothing. It's probably everything, you know, as long as you keep to it, as long as, you know, you're loyal to whatever your purpose is, I think.
Always a pleasure talking to you because you bring it. You bring it, be it on the music side. You drop the jewels
as well. And then I
drop
the jewels.
No? Yes, that's very important. Speaking of which, I'm looking at, you're getting much love here. Now I have no idea where I've gone to. But Slick One loves you. Slick
Shout out to Slick.
Slick One just referred to you as Solo the
Don. Solo the Don.
That is major.
No, I appreciate it. Yo. Wait, and I need to follow all these people. So I have to be on Vuv to follow everybody.
Yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
Y'all need to send me everybody's names.
And
here.
Candy has nah, Candy's kids. Already.
Candy's been followed. She doesn't even need to worry. Yes, she even said gang gang. Ah, Candy's
because
the one.
She wants to. She says she wants to actually go to another app where she's. I think she sent you something there. Somebody wanted to.
Hi, Candy. I see you.
Could it be nudes? Now, somebody also mentioned just now that they wanted to obviously find out if when you're dropping.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that you've already covered, but you can just.
Yeah. So we actually announced that today in any case. So we can't put that out. So yeah. Tour dates officially drops on the 25th of December on Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas to you all. Please get the album. Get it for yourself. Get it for loved ones and spread the word, please. I believe the pre-order is going to come out pretty soon. Just not sure when. But 25th of December is when Tour Dates comes out.
Solo and the team, they're basically joining us shortly for a performance.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through some of the songs from the album as well.
Yeah.
And just basically talk more. Remember, you can continue with this discussion on cliffcentral.com. We continue with the show from us here at hashtag Vuv Central. You can catch us again next week, Friday at 5 p.m. Solo,
yo.
You want to give your last shout out?
Besides shouting out Candy, which I feel now I definitely have to, just shout out to everybody who's been following the movement. Shout out to everybody who's only just caught on as well. Better late than never, I always say. I really hope that you guys enjoy this project. It's everything to us. Shout out to y'all, man.
Cool. So join us right now, cliffcentral.com. We continue this discussion.
You ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. Break it. It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. The only love we can experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
All right, welcome back to cliffcentral.com. This is the O'Neill Africa Experience. Hanging out with myself, O'Neill. Solo is standing by alongside the Better Gang. Music playing in the background. Jubilee No Liga Mo. All right, when we come back, we get into our first performance. This is a brand new one from Praise all the way from Nigeria. It's called Show Me Love. The sounds of Java. What a major song, man. Speaking of major things, Solo is standing by with Better Gang. Yeah, on the other side of this, hopefully, we will be ready. See, we're still sorting things out. The technical side of things, we're patching things up. This is going to be awesome. By the time it comes to you, it will be the complete package. Stay with us. Yeah.
AfricaExperience.com.
She seems to be doing very well at the moment. She gave you songs such as Maradona, which is one of the biggest songs in the continent at the moment. Niniola Soke is the name of the song. In studio right now, hanging out with Solo and the Better Gang. And we are still trying to sort ourselves out. But look, the most important thing is that tour date is out.
Well, tour date is on its way.
Okay, it's on its way.
But 25th of December.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right, cool. So now, do we have a lead single off the album already?
Which we dropped today, actually.
Okay.
So the track is called Caffeine and Other Drugs, that's the East Rand joint. So it actually features Reason, Moosley, as well as Kid X. Obviously, front runners from the East. I always say, like, the East Rand actually has, like, a gang of rappers to choose from, you know, a lot of very talented MCs from that place, but these three artists specifically are who we actually heard on the song before we finalized the joint.
Yeah,
and it was very organic. And again, shout out to them, man. Like I said, they all took time out of their very very hectic schedules to make this thing happen.
So the theme of the song, you know, I get how you selected the artists that are featured on the song, but creatively, what's happening with the song itself?
Sure.
The content.
So, again, Caffeine and Other Drugs is actually a song that speaks to vices, you know, good and bad. You know, the whole idea behind the song is you know, it speaks about how we essentially kind of lean on vices, whatever they may be, just to kind of keep going, to keep doing what we're doing.
A crutch of sorts.
As a crutch of sorts, you know what I mean? And we all have them, whether, like I said, whether they're good or bad. And, you know, it's really essentially a no-judgment joint versus saying, you know, and what's dope is all the artists kind of describe their own vices and like their verses, which is very dope. But yeah, that's essentially what it is. It's a no judgment, you know, we're all essentially in this together. We all have a crutch to kind of, or a crutch or two to kind of get where we're going. And like I said, it's supposed to be non-judgmental, to be like, yo, you know, we're human. Yeah.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Off the album tour date, it's a brand new one.
I said, caffeine and other drugs that seem to keep the buzz. Conceited, drunken love makes all of the above. Caffeine and other drugs that seem to keep the buzz. Conceited, drunken love makes all of the above. Caffeine and other drugs that seem to keep the buzz. Conceited, drunken love makes all of the above. Caffeine and other drugs that seem to keep the buzz. Conceited, drunken love makes all of the above.
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Africa Experience. The number one African music vault.
You ready? Come on. One, two, three. Break it.
It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
All right, so you just had a brand new one from Solo and the Better Gang, Caffeine and Other Drugs.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I listen to the song, I can tell musically you guys have grown. It's very musical.
It is, yeah.
How did you make it different from everything else that you've done?
You know, I don't think it was, intentionally working to make something different versus exactly what you're saying, where you begin to hear the growth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're constant with something, it's impossible to remain the same. you know. So I think that's what you're hearing, and which is great,
yeah.
Which is like the best kind of feedback we could ever get. I think we're always working to land something very musical,
yeah.
And yeah, and like I said, for what the song was, you know, you definitely want a feeling of being able to not, like I said, almost feel judged for being human.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you get this almost this lighthearted energy that comes from the production and the song. Yeah, so yeah, that was Caffeine and Other Drugs.
There seems to be a cycle with hip hop, in terms of what would dominate the trends.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't necessarily change the color of hip hop. It remains the same,
mm-hmm.
in its purest form. It's just at different times, people consume different types of hip-hop, I suppose.
Sure,
and you have remained true to your artistry.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of what's on the charts, we presume that's what's selling.
Yes.
You understand? Tell me how you reconcile maintaining the fact that this is a business,
yeah,
and then remaining to an to an art form that doesn't seem to be commercially as appealing as what's current.
Well, you know what, I always find that perspective very I think it's what we naturally lean on.
Mm.
But you know, I think what we're kind of running away from is the fact that music, in terms of its original means of consumption, doesn't sell. So you could look at, let's say, the top 5 or 10 selling artists and look at how, you know, and find a common thread in terms of what they sound like. But you might be leaving out 100,000 people who sound the exact same way who aren't selling. So I think it's very important to kind of be acknowledge that we're talking about a business that, you know, when we're speaking about the consumption of the music in terms of sales, isn't your conventional way of making money as a musician today.
Mm.
So I think that kind of nervousness stems from, you know, what we normally do as humans, where we see something that looks like a formula that's working. We look at a common thread. Then we say, that's the way it works. That's the way that it doesn't work.
Yes.
But like I said, I know too many kids who sound like what's going on today who can't move.
Yeah.
Whose moves are, you know, so much smaller than like one step of mine. So that's what I think, that's the soberness in all of it. You kind of need to understand your market. I'm an artist who understands my market, and I understand that, you know, for them, what I'm doing is appealing. If I pivot now, there will be no voice where I am, and generally I can't do it. Artists like me can't do that, and I think it's very important not to be shaken by the next man.
Nicely put. And I suppose, you know, noise isn't always, and not to downplay what they're doing, but noise isn't always substance.
Yeah, sometimes noise is all you're paid in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's, you know, it's key to that's what I mean about understanding your business, the business of, you know, the craft you're putting out and the craft you're selling. I mean, it's not, let's be very clear, it's really not cheap to put out an album. We're on album, what, 5?
It can be, no?
My point is, you know, there are returns that are seen.
Yeah.
And that's not. But I think, you know, my point is, it's not many people who say, yo, album coming soon, who then drop an album, because it's not easy to put out an album. It's expensive to put out an album. For the mere fact that we're here again discussing a new project, you know, speaks to a following that exists, and a following that has buying power and that's actually purchasing. That's another thing where, like, you know, I think it's important to remember that the youth also have their representatives, their artists who speak to them directly. Someone like a Nasty C, who I always say it's a marvel to see him work and to see how he infiltrates the youth, you know. The point that I'm making is, I don't have to be Nasty C.
Mm.
Last I checked, disposable income was something afforded to my peers, people who are my age and older, you know. So to be like, oh no, but you know, if your market isn't the kids, then you've lost. My market has spending power and money. They have disposable income. They go out, they go to different kind of shows, they like niche things, and that's what I mean about, you know, sometimes following just the noise and where the majority is, you might lose out on what works for your business
and lose yourself in the process.
Absolutely, which is the most dangerous of things.
You working as a team, is it easy?
Working as a team now is easy. I mean, we've been doing this for years. I mean, the last time, I mean, the first time I came in, even with these guys, you know, that was years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously we've remained building, and now it's almost second nature. You know, the guys around me understand me sonically. I understand them sonically. So we can essentially put, it's easier and quicker to put together concepts and ideas because we're on the same wavelength now, you know. But that takes time, and I'm glad that we took the time to get onto this page, and we'll only get better and better.
The methods you employ to ensure that your album is heard, your music gets to the right people, to the market, and possibly break new ground. Do you have to rely on conventional methods? Is marketing a stencil that's available to anyone who's in the business, or do you necessarily have to? Do you have to do something that's custom made to the project itself?
Look, I think a stencil definitely exists. I wouldn't advise using it, though. You can. I wouldn't advise it. I think it's very important, more so in hip hop. I always say hip hop is entrepreneurship, for real. Hip hop is, and that's how it's built. It's built on a hustle. It's built on being able to understand that tomorrow you can be obsolete.
Yeah.
You know, hence when you start looking at trends and patterns, and there's, you know that there's a risk in following a pattern.
Yes.
You know, there's a risk in me going, oh, that's how you got it. Me too.
Because it's effervescent. It disappears.
Absolutely.
If you attach yourself to something that's not here to stay. Then.
Exactly. The way I came in 2010, I could not advise any artist to do the same thing again today. You know, when I came in, mixtapes were a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you try follow my blueprint from back then, I don't think it works out for you. And I think that's the reason why you really kind of need to be studying the game every day, and why it's important for you to be listening to yourself every day. You know, I think it's important to, you know, be quick in terms of making the decisions. Be very slow in, you know, turning and not following that decision or changing your mind.
I want to quickly just interject. You said something. It's important to be knowledgeable in the game.
Yeah.
Is it important to be knowledgeable in general as an MC, as an artist, as an entrepreneur? Or is it important to be knowledgeable in the game?
Look, I can only speak for what's kind of worked for myself, right?
Yeah.
And what's worked for me has been not being afraid, one, to ask questions, and not being afraid to attempt something that could possibly fail, you know? I know that walking in, if I had a question for O'Neal, because O'Neal sat in a position where I felt that he probably had the knowledge, I'd ask the question. And that might, you know, one might be afraid to look like an idiot, but if I don't know, and I stay in the space of ignorance, what are the chances of my growing? Yeah. You know, I think it's important just to always equip yourself with knowledge, for your art form, how it actually works, the business around it, even just in terms of balancing all of it. You know, balancing is only something that I picked up properly this year, just in terms of not, you know, succumbing to the pressures of feeling that I have to be in studio every day or else I fail, or, you know, just kind of running the risk of burning out. And that again was something that, you know, that's all information I got that was completely non-music related. We're talking more spiritual and, you know, just in terms of finding a balance.
Yeah.
It makes me a better artist, though.
Because you become a better person. And
absolutely.
Wow, interesting. As I always say, I can talk to you forever because...
Yeah, that's the problem with us. That's the problem. Like, we turn it into a
every
a talk
time
show,
I speak
man.
To Solo, it keeps going. In studio right now, we are also hanging out with the Bets again. Look, let me just be clear. We have been trying to sort out the technical side of things, and I don't know, are we winning?
We should be.
It's very ambitious. Let me tell you why.
Please.
This is the one fail, if it does happen, that I'm often very proud of because it speaks to just how ambitious these gentlemen are. Every time they come here, they bring in gadgets. So we try our hardest.
To accommodate.
Yes. Yeah. We try our hardest to try and make it work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Where are we at the moment? We want to try?
Yeah, we can.
And on the cool check-in.
Okay, I hear something.
Turn them up over there.
Good. I'm connected myself.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure this out. Something is just not coming together.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, let's do this in the meantime. Look, we're the last show, so we've got a bit of time. We can create some time.
Play that joint.
Let's just play overtime. We're coming back.
From a different perspective, but I have to bear it. Make that holy water rain. Look at these sinners, I send them all the same. Hustling out of lust for abundance, that's in the game. But like clockwork, same routine. And if it doesn't make us big, then we big bet. That's larger time investment. And I'll buckle down relentless. Who gon' tell me that I ain't destined? Look at my team, look at my gains. Look at my consistency in all things. You wanna look at my wit? You need to see change. You need to look at these young kings and do the same.
The O'Neal Africa Experience. Africa Experience. The number one African music vault.
I think you worry too much about who faces off. I know the races are a matter of taste involved. You relish in the shit like it's savory. You way too concerned about the dame I can. You fix saber where my dick's been. I got the thick skin, I got the height. You see they on decline or peak. It's either or. They hate to admit it, but they need the boy. I may be the realist if you gave a thought. They give a fuck about your raps and you made your point. At the same time, strike while the iron's hot. Advice given, thinking that my right stop. I'm not rear view, I'm in blind spot. Straddling your lane and our ties pop. It's that close, bitter. If he gets bitter, we get bitter. We don't let him. In comparison, my shit nevertheless. The ship never can nest. Word, bespoke, made to measure. We wrote down second guesses. Word, not just next for the season. Not new verb, holding lyrical beacon. Machine gun solo, but did you believe him? He was fleek on artillery, but never did need him. I said fleek, but it's cool. Stripes are a nigga.
Better than stripes. Better than stripes. Better than stripes.
I think if there's any justice in this world, the rewards for excellence would match the level of artistry. And I mean, I've been listening to Overtime. I'm listening to Stripes right now in the background, and man, I wish we could hear this. These songs could be playlisted more. Like, there is space for these songs on the countdown.
Yeah, give it time, man. We can't be nervous about things working out if they're definitely gonna work out.
Look, I think for people who consume this stuff, it's good enough. I'm able to purchase the album.
Absolutely.
And I know what to find. I'm not going to buy Coke and find milk in there.
There you go.
So it works for me. Gentlemen, it's always a blessing to have you around because I know I'm not crazy. Every time when I speak to you solo, I know I'm not crazy.
No.
You remind me that so that's why I need you now and then to come by.
And I appreciate that, man. Listen, we're definitely going to drop by to give you a hard copy of the album.
I'd love
as
that.
A Christmas gift. You know, obviously just to say thank you again. I was actually saying, I don't know if we said it on air or not, but like Jubilee Nolikomo premiered here for the very first time on this show.
And O'Neal said, gents, how
this should be the single. That's exactly what he said.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
it blew up silly. Like,
it really
for
did,
me,
man.
For me, look, and I played it earlier on, and I listened to this. There's consistency, even in terms of the sound.
Yeah,
you guys haven't dropped the ball anyway. So this tells me that you guys are artists, and I feel like we need a lot more artists. So I'll always be grateful for what you guys are doing. I really, really think this year you break new ground.
Yeah.
I know you already have your space, but let's break new ground.
Yeah, okay. I think the key is not being apologetic about our space.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being very aggressive with it. Just because it should stand, you know, head and shoulders, you know, above everything. That's our belief in any case. So,
yeah.
And that's what we'll fight for. That's why I'm like, there's no need to be nervous. And, you know, to say we need more of it.
Yeah,
like Jay says, man, I told him less is more, nigga. There's plenty of us. We're fine. We're good.
100%. Gentlemen, thank you very much. If there's anything at all that you want us to help with, please stop by. You want to let us know when the first date is for
tours? Oh, no, we'll
come by and let us know. And look, we would like to take part.
Yeah.
We would love to have to take part.
Yeah.
Even if it means us setting up a little stall there. Whatever it is, whatever it takes.
I'll definitely holler
at you. Just enhance it. Just let us know. Guys, thank you very much.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Much love to my producer, Palesa, for putting this together, and every single guest that we had come through here today. Harrison Crump, and to all the listeners across the world, we see you.